It's dipped a little bit in the past week, and she says, I'm not sure we ought to have anything in stocks. Well, we don't play, so we don't. I have somebody that handles that for me, and they have decided to put my money in stocks. And stocks, of course, have grown over the past several years, and she noticed that the percentage we have in stocks has grown beyond what I originally planned. Well, as I was trying to explain to her, I believe the reason is that stocks have become so much more valuable that that's what caused that segment of our IRA to grow. But, you know, and if you have money in stocks or bonds or anything like that, it shows a certain amount of faith. You know, we have faith in certain things, physical things, like we have faith in some of the services we're provided in our communities. If you have a problem that involves emergency transportation or help, you pick up your phone, you dial 911, and you have faith that they'll dispatch an ambulance or a police officer or a fire truck or whatever is needed. And that's, in this day and age, in this community, for the time being, that's something that we put our faith in. We put our faith a certain amount in government. You know, some people put their faith in Donald Trump as being able to be our president, and even more in numbers, raw numbers, put their faith in Hillary Clinton, even though she didn't get elected. But government in generally, we have a certain amount of faith in that. Some of you are old like me and you get Social Security. I trust that every month I'm going to see that little addition to my checking account, and that the government will pay me my Social Security. Again, the stock market, we have faith in that. And one of my counselors on that told me that if you look at the past and you look at the growth of the stock market compared to the growth of the bond market or growth of savings, the stock market historically has gone up a lot faster than the others. I'm sure that won't continue forever, but historically we have faith that it'll continue. We may have faith in real estate. The Wands could probably tell you more about where the real estate market stands today, but as I was growing up, it was pretty much, as a young adult, it was given that real estate was a pretty good investment because it was growing. You know, my parents bought their home, a very nice home in New York State, for less than $6,000. What will that get you today? Of course, that was 1942 or so, and of course it elevated. We have faith, but of course recently I know the real estate market has sort of leveled off in some areas, at least the last time I looked, which has been a couple of years. But all of our physical faith, these institutions that we have faith in, are questionable. You know, we don't know really what's going to happen to our government, our economy, our stock market, what would happen to the price of real estate if we invest in that. They're all questionable. The question is, where should we put our faith? I think you know the answer. We put our faith in God and Jesus Christ. And look at Luke 18 and verse 8. Luke 18, 8. Jesus Christ speaking here asks the question. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, talking about other things. And nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? It's a good question, and I think we ought to look in a mirror and ask that. Will he find faith in the church, in this congregation? Because as we've seen over the years, many have lost faith. They've kind of don't know exactly where they're going or what's happening. Their faith, in some cases, was based on human beings that they found to be fallible, was based on dates which weren't accurate. You know, I didn't think any of us would be here in a physical form now. You know, we had it all figured out back in the 60s. We were going to flee, I think, in 1971 or 72, 73. Well, I fled in 71. I got tired of living in Philadelphia and fled to the Ozarks. Tell people I'm a New Yorker by birth and a hillbilly by choice. But, you know, some have lost their faith because of our interpretation of prophecy, because of some of the people that we found fallible that we put our faith in the church, perhaps. Turn to Matthew 24 and verse 15, And we'll see how important our faith is. Matthew 24, of course, a prophetic chapter in the Gospels. And we'll skip down to verse 15. This describes some of the things that will be happening at the end time. And verse 15 of Matthew 24, it says, "And when you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand." I don't know exactly what that means. There will come a time when we will, when we'll see what's happening and say, oh, you know, one of the things I feel about prophecy, that prophecy is history in advance. And we don't always understand it today. But when Jesus Christ returns and we're spiritual beings, you know, God can take us and say, see, this is what I was talking about. This is what happened. So I try not to think too much or speculate too much or take my speculation too seriously on what might happen. And it says here, "Let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains." This is basically what it's saying here is, we will be called to make decisions based on our faith. You know, none of us live in Judea, so I don't think we're going to flee into the mountains, but a similar event might happen. "Let him who is on the housetop come down and not come down to take anything out of the house." You know, we may have to flee empty-handed. "Neither let him that's in the field return back to take his clothes." You know, we may have to go to church in our jeans and t-shirts or whatever. We may have to flee without our church clothes. "Woe unto them that are with child in those days, and those that give suck in those days. Pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day." You know, I never thought much about fleeing in the wintertime until, well, I thought about it a lot during the past few weeks. Because like I said earlier, I think I've become less tolerant of the cold weather as I grow older. This morning, my wife and grandson and granddaughter went out for a while, and I was in the car, and the heat, we don't park it in the garage anymore because my daughter's taken that over for a lot of her junk, but it was cold in the car, and I was physically shaking. So this has more meaning to me now than it did, I told her, than it would have 3 or 5 years ago even. "Then shall be great tribulation, since has not been seen since the beginning of the world until now, no, nor ever shall be. Except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." And again, the point here is that we need faith. We will be called on to make decisions based on faith. How strong is your faith? How certain would you be to make a decision to do the right thing, to maybe say the right thing? You know, as was mentioned in the sermonette, even though it's difficult. I mean, there were several episodes in my life when I didn't have much problem telling people what I believed, particularly concerning the Sabbath, because since I got into my career, I worked in a 24/7 business. And I remember the first job I had, I didn't have to mention it. They mentioned it to me and said, "You're the new guy. You're going to have to work when nobody else wants to. This is a 7-day-a-week business. You're going to have to work Sundays, but we'll give you Saturdays off." So that one took care of itself. The next job I had, I was hired and was gone through the interview process with the owner and my supervisor, and they agreed to hire me. And as I was walking out, I says, "I better mention the Sabbath." So I went in to the supervisor and said, "You know, I'm not going to be able to work on Saturdays." And he called the owner back in, and they had another meeting, and I didn't have much choice there. And so be it. On through my career, I've had to deal with that. So we have to have faith to do the right thing, even though it's sometimes difficult to say the right thing. What is faith? Let's turn to Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now, in a physical sense, I can't give you what might not be, in the truly physical sense, a satisfying answer, but this is the definition according to Scripture. "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." we can't immediately always see the things that we are putting our faith in. None of us has physically seen God or Jesus Christ. We can envision his kingdom. We can think about it. We can anticipate it. But there's no physical evidence at this point. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which don't appear. We don't know how all this came about, how this, you know, they've got the Big Bang Theory, and not the TV show, but anyway, if you've ever seen it, it's about some really nerdy, well, three of the four main characters have their doctorate degrees, and make fun of the fourth because he only has a master's degree, but they're socially inept. And so, but I'm talking about the Big Bang Theory in theory, how it is supposed that a very small bit of matter exploded, and thus we have the entire universe. So, but we don't know exactly how that happened. We don't know exactly how the dinosaurs got here or what happened to them or all these other questions. You know, we don't know specifically what happened. Well, we know all we need to know about what happened at creation and in the Garden of Eden, but we believe and trust what we believe in God's word, what we see in God's word. We sometimes it's a belief and a loyalty to a person or a thing. We can't do that. But true faith gives us a sense and a feeling of safety and security. And even the physical trust and faith that we have can sometimes give us a sense, a feeling of safety and security, but that's not necessarily going to last. True faith will. Why do we need faith? If I haven't explained it all already, but I'm not ready to go sit down, so I'll explain it a little more thoroughly. We need faith for healing. We need faith for healing. Turn to Matthew 9. Matthew 9, beginning in verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood, 12 years, long-term ailment, came behind him and touched the hem of his garments. And said within herself, that if I could just touch his garment, I will be made whole. And Jesus turned about and said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made you whole. Now, I don't think there was any magic in the cloth that she touched or anything like that. But she obviously realized who Jesus Christ was, had faith in him, and the woman was made whole that hour. And then Jesus came to a ruler's house and saw minstrels and people making noise. And he, I'm getting ahead of myself or behind myself somewhere here. But we can see also where in verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when they came unto the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said, do you believe that I'm, you know, who I say I am, that I'm able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith. So they had faith. Be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man knows this. So they were healed because of their faith. Of course, when we talk about healing, we often turn to James, the book of James, and verse 5. James 5, we're talking here about anointing. And it says in James, and again, I've made this point, there's nothing magic in that oil that you're anointed with. There's nothing magic about the minister who does it or his hands. It's your faith. And in verse 15 of James 5, it says, and the prayer of faith, you know, when you're anointed, shall save the sick. Faith, and raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we can see that healing is based on faith. And probably all of you at one time or another have prayed to God or been anointed, and or know somebody who has and has been healed because of that faith. So we need faith for healing. We need it to grow. We need it for growth and accomplishment. Turn to Matthew 17 and verse 20. Matthew 17 and verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, that if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, a little bitty seed, and you shall say to a mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible for you. I know as kids we used to think, boy, that's pretty neat that we could do that. Of course, it has to be within God's will, has to be done in humility. I don't think us kids were thinking of being humble. We were thinking of being pretty proud if we could pull that off. But that's not exactly, you know, if it need be, that could happen. If we pray to Jesus Christ in humility and to God the Father in humility and have that faith that's in a little bit of mustard seed, a little seed. I know they sell little trinkets with a mustard seed in them to kind of remind us of that. And if you plant a mustard seed, it'll grow into a fairly big plant and have seeds on it and whatever else is there that tastes pretty good on hot dogs, you know, if you use mustard. And so to grow like that, we need faith for growth and accomplishment. We can't just do it on our own. We need it to overcome fear. Turn to Mark 4 and verse 37. Mark 4 and verse 37. And there arose, this is an account of something that happened with Jesus Christ and the apostles. And there arose a great storm and wind and waves that beat on the ship so that it was now full. It was taking on water. And he was in the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him. Now, Jesus Christ sleeping for all this, through all this stuff. You know, obviously there's more to that than is said here, but, you know, he knew of the power that God had given him. And they awake him and say, Master, do you care not that we're going to perish? As one of my kids' friends used to say, we're all going to die. You know, which is true. But anyway, sometimes this kid would get panicked, and no matter what the situation was, his bottom line was, we're all going to die. And that's what they were saying here. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know, physical calm, and I guess a spiritual calm among the disciples. And he said, why were you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You know, was God the Father going to allow his son, who had work to do, to die at that point? So we need faith to overcome fear. To overcome fear. We need it for sanctification. Acts 26 and verse 18. Acts 26 and verse 18. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that he may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified. Sanctified by faith, which is in me. We need it for sanctification. That's kind of a big word. I had to look it up in my trusty online concordance, and it actually means to be set apart. It's through our faith that we are set apart for a purpose that God has called us to now and in the future. So we need faith for that sanctification. We can't work it out. We can't buy it. We can't reason it so to be. We need faith. We need to know that God's kingdom is coming, and we celebrate that each year at the holy days. We also celebrate our own weakness and God's strength in working through us during the spring holy days. So that faith gives us sanctification. It sets us apart. It's something we don't naturally have, but something that we need. That sets us apart and makes us special. We need it for justification. Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something we'll be celebrating in the spring holy days and in the Passover, which was mentioned earlier. That justification that comes not through our own doing, but by faith and our faith in Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and saved us from our own deserved punishment. We need it for spiritual protection. We need faith for spiritual protection. Turn to Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Ephesians 6, 16. Talking here about the armor of God and various things. Above all this, the shield of faith. Faith is a shield. Faith gives us spiritual protection, wherewith we shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. We're all occasionally presented with, the opportunity to make a wrong decision. But through faith, we can quench the fiery darts of the wicked, or Satan. Satan, who's continually assaulting us with these things, with bad thoughts, with bad motives, with the opportunity to make a bad decision. Again, I hark back to one of our elders years ago who I was giving a sermon at on pleasing God. And he said, "What are you going to talk about?" And I said, "Pleasing God." He said, "That's pretty simple. Just do the right thing." Okay. And I find that lurking in my mind every once in a while. I get up in the morning and I'm tempted to just roll over and go back to sleep. I look at the clock again and I ask myself, what's the right thing to do? Get up. It's going to be a little difficult because I like my sleep. And usually I get enough sleep. But do the right thing. So again, we need that spiritual protection, that faith. You know, it's easy to skip prayer or Bible study each day. It's easy just to, I'll do it later. And it gets later and later, and the next thing you know, it's time to go to bed. I know one man who told me, it's kind of tough because I think he was retired. I watched TV all day, and then, there's the Tonight Show at night. And after that, there's such and such and such and such. And the next thing I know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, time to go to bed. But sometimes we think that way. We'll put that off. Bible study, I'll do twice as much tomorrow. Or I'll save that. One excuse was on Friday, I'll save that for the Sabbath. But every once in a while, we need, through faith, to have that spiritual protection to just say, I don't care what it takes. I don't care who I have to talk to, and as was mentioned in the sermonette, or what I have to mention to whom, but I'm going to do the right thing. We need faith to have Christ live in us. Turn to Ephesians 3 and verse 17. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. It's Ephesians 3:17. And the fact that we need Jesus Christ living in us, and we can only have that by faith. I often used to ask myself, what would Jesus Christ be like if he were not a man who lived to be 33? What if he was a 25-year-old woman? And there are, I'm sure, 25-year-old women in the church, or 85-year-old women in the church who are doing the right thing and letting Christ live in them. And we all, again, have been introduced to that at baptism. When we were baptized, when we had hands laid on us and were given God's Holy Spirit, we have the opportunity to do whatever it is we do in whatever area we do it, wherever we work, wherever we go to school, whatever we do, to let Christ live in us and ask ourselves, there's a little WWJD, maybe some of you have seen that. It's on, I guess they have it on T-shirts. I knew a guy used to wear one on his wrist on a little armband. What would Jesus do? And we seriously need to ask. I know it's sort of a little gimmicky thing, but still, it's a pretty good idea. If we're going to let Christ live within us, We need to have the faith to say, what would Jesus do? And to do it. And to do it. To do God's work. We need faith to do God's work. Look at Acts again. Acts 6 and verse 8. Acts 6 and verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And he did that through faith. He got killed for it. He was a martyr. But we remember him. And we knew he was doing God's work. He was doing God's work through faith. We need to have faith. Again, for that spiritual protection. For the opportunity to have Christ live in us. For sanctification, for justification, to overcome fear, to do God's work, we need to have faith to have the confidence, the true confidence to do that. We can't have confidence in ourselves because we know we're fallible. We can't have total confidence in our community and the services offered by that, in government. We can't have total faith in the stock market. We can't have faith in our real estate investments or whatever. They're all questionable, but we need true faith in God to have confidence. So I've sold you on that. Now, my next question is, how do we get faith? How do we get faith? Do we work it up? You know, it's a gift. We get it as a gift. Turn to Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's not anything we did except to make the right decision to observe and to obey and to be beckoned by God's calling. It is a gift of God. We can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Galatians 5:22, I think you're familiar with this, very familiar section of scripture, the fruit of the Spirit. It's one of the fruits of God's Spirit, along with love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, gentleness, goodness. There it is, faith. Do you pray for it each day? Do you pray for God's Holy Spirit each day, realizing that's the source of your faith, a gift from God through His Holy Spirit? That's how we get it, as a gift. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. And it's talking about the various gifts, the various talents that we have. And sometimes we don't see them unless we study this and apply it. To another, faith by the same Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, 9, and of course there are all kinds of things, and some people maybe have more faith than others. I don't know. By the same Spirit to another, the gifts of healing. And again, healing through faith by the same Spirit. So again, it's a gift. It's something that God gives us. It's something we really don't naturally have. Something we need to pray for and ask God for, particularly through His Holy Spirit. Another way we get faith is through studying God's Word. Romans 10 and verse 17. Romans 10, 17. Going the wrong way here. Romans 10, 17. So by faith comes hearing, or comes by hearing. You know, when we hear things, when we listen to what God is telling us, either through the written word or whatever, and hearing by the word of God, by studying God's word, that's where faith comes from. That's one of the sources. Of course, it's a gift from God. One of the mechanical things that He uses to do that is through His word. As we study His word, we can see the examples of others who came before us. You can look at Hebrews 11. And there's a whole list of people who are, you know, remembered for their faith. And we get that through studying His Word. We study His Word and we find out what does it mean to do the right thing. Not relying on our own wisdom to do that, because we can really We can really go astray when we rely on our own wisdom, but we rely on the wisdom of God. Through his word, he tells us what to do. Many of you can remember probably a time of confusion, even some of you who were brought up in the church, when you kind of thought, well, what is the right thing to do? And at some point, regardless of the good or bad influences around you, you have to make the decision to do the right thing. And we get that knowledge of how to apply our faith through God's word. And we need to be resigned to God's will. That's another way that we get faith, by being willing to say to God, okay, I'll do it your way. You know, there's a famous song that I think Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley recorded called My Way. Sorry, that doesn't apply to us. We can't do it. I can't do it my way and expect success, spiritual success. We have to do it God's way, not my way. No matter what they say. Does that rhyme? Is that in there? I don't remember. If you'll turn to Matthew 6 and verse 10, the part of the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Thy kingdom come." Do we pray for that? Do we pray for God's kingdom to come? Or are we afraid, well, wait a minute, I've got this thing planned. If he came today or this year, I might not be able to, you know, get my degree or, you know, advance in my job like I'd like to or whatever. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And carrying that one step further, do we want God's will to be done in our lives, regardless of the physical problems that might result from, again, doing what what we think is right as opposed to what we know is right? Are we resigned to God's will? That's how we get God's spirit, get faith. How do we exercise faith? Is it enough just to have it? Is it sort of warm feeling inside that we kind of keep to ourselves? And I think, again, we heard some of that in the sermonette, that sometimes we just want to keep this to ourselves and have it make us feel good. So how do we exercise faith in our lives? One is through knowledge. How do we know what the right thing is, what the wrong thing is, what God expects of us? And again, we can speculate, and I'm trying to think of some of the other, I got to mention at least one good country song, but the song Me and Jesus, if you've heard that by Tom T. Hall. Me and Jesus, got our own thing going. You know, notice, again, me comes first. And me and Jesus, no matter what it is, we'll kind of work it out. Well, it doesn't quite work that way. We need to exercise faith by knowledge of what's really important, what's important to God, and what God wants for us and wants us to do if we're going to do the right thing. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And for we walk by faith, not by sight. Do we let God, through his word, direct our path, direct our steps to where we're walking by faith and not by what we see around us? Because what we see around us can be deceptive. Again, we don't know how long everything's going to last. You know, we live in a great country right now where we enjoy a lot of privileges. If you read the letter on the front of the bulletin this week, I kind of waxed eloquent on that a little bit. And one of the points I did make is that, you know, if we really take it into consideration, right now, we got it pretty good. We got it pretty good compared to, in some cases, compared to what it was like 5 or 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. You know, we hear about these horrible atrocities today that terrorists do, and sometimes maybe we lose sight of the fact that many, 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 many more people died every day during World War II at the hands of the Nazis. Oh, back in the good old days, you know. But I cited some things in there that are a little more relevant, I think, to us as young people like me who remember back to the 50s and some of the stories we've heard that really question whether those were the good old days. I know I've talked to some people and said, well, really, we really, you know, had it good back then. Like there was no sin, like we came out of the millennium as opposed to going into the millennium and into God's kingdom. So we need knowledge. We need perspective that can only come through God's word and studying God's word and knowing what's right, what's wrong, what God expects of us. Turn to Proverbs 2 and verse 1. Proverbs 2 and verse 1. My son, will you receive my words and hide my commandments with you? Make them a part of you. That you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. Now, this apparently said to a young man, and I remember being a young man, and the fact that nobody could tell me what to do. You know, you see that once in a while, people with problems, and sometimes they're the result of doing their own thing, so to speak. If you keep her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, do you consider God's word as a hid treasure? Not everybody understands it. He's given us the opportunity to read it and understand it. Shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God? You know, the fear of doing something that God doesn't approve of. Do you have that fear? For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So we have access to that knowledge, that understanding through God's word. We need to take that. We need to study that. We need to apply that to our lives and exercise the faith that we have in God's word, in what God teaches us and what God expects of us. Turn to Romans 10 and verse 17. Romans 10:17. So by faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We mentioned this earlier. But that's, you know, we do need to hear. We do need to listen. We do need to read. We do need to have a two-way conversation with God. You know, we pray. We ask God for what we need, perhaps. We thank God for what we have, hopefully, and pray for other people. But then God, through study, talks to us if we read his word. And sometimes we find that maybe we've been praying amiss. Maybe what we're praying for isn't really what needs to be done. And sometimes if you look back over the years and some of the things I wanted when I was young, I didn't get. I'm glad. You know, I'm glad I didn't get some of the things I asked for because they would have caused me many problems. Turn to Matthew 4 and verse 4. Matthew 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said unto them, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4, 4. Do we apply that in our lives? Do we truly believe that? You know, sometimes we tend to live for bread alone, particularly when we're hungry, particularly if we're fasting. So these are some of the ways that we exercise faith. We exercise faith through our obedience. Look at an example in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. Hebrews 11, 8. Speaking of Abraham, by faith Abraham was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing where he went. God says, hey, I want you to leave home and go out here. He didn't know where he was going, but he obeyed God. He exercised that faith. Genesis 12, beginning in verse 1. Genesis 12, 1. Therefore, seeing also we are compassed. Whoop, I'm in the wrong book here. Genesis, that's at the other end, isn't it? Genesis 12, beginning in verse 1. Again, the example of Abraham. And now when the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and we all probably have a certain amount of affection for the places we grew up, the people we knew, and I will make you a great nation and will bless you and make it your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse those that curse you, and you shall, and shall through you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Big promise. Now, did Abraham say, okay, what are the bennies here? What are the benefits? What am I going to be paid? How about health insurance? How about, Social Security, whatever? No. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. I can relate to that. I'm 75 years old. So was Abraham. Had to just take up and leave. Hey, I'm comfortable where I am. He was probably very comfortable where he was, but he practiced faith through obedience, obeying God. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whomsoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, obeys, I will make him like a wise man who built his home upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. You know, is our faith founded on a rock, on Jesus Christ, on God the Father? If it is, we'll survive, we'll last. Turn to Deuteronomy 30 and verse 11. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 11. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 11. And this is the commandment which I command you this day. It's not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, well, who'll go up to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that we should say, let's go over the sea. Who's going to go over the sea and bring it to us so that we may hear it and do it? You know, it's somewhere out there, somebody is going to bring this to us. And how many beliefs, how many churches, how many congregations are based on some guy, some person who has all this knowledge that we're going to follow? And then they're, of course, sometimes discredited and everything falls apart. The word is very nigh to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. They've been taught God's word and God's ways. See that I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil. We have a choice. And I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, statutes, and judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. And if your heart turn away so that you will not hear and worship other gods and will serve them, I denounce to you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days upon the land, and you shall that you go to possess over Jordan. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, you know, all that you've been taught, all that I've shown you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, big, big word here, choose life that you and your seed may live. So it's our obedience. You know, that's how we develop faith, not on our own, but through God, when we learn that, hey, what he says, that's the right way to do things. And we accept that. James 2 and verse 14. James 2:14. What does it profit, my brethren, if a man say he has faith and not works, can faith save him? Again, is it just a warm feeling inside? Is it just a confidence that you maybe have that makes you feel good? If a brother or sister be naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, hope things work out for you, notwithstanding giving those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? There's an old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We may have good intentions, but we need to put them into action. Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Again, it's not just for us. Yea, if a man say, you show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe there's one God who does well? The devils also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Our faith has to result in action. Revelation 22 and verse 14. Revelation 22, 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. So again, we exercise our faith by obedience, by hope. Romans 8 and verse 22. You know, what motivates you overall? Romans 8, 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves, the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. As you get older, you kind of hope to get free of this body because you have new aches and pains. As one lady told me, I've got aches and pains in places that I didn't know I had places. But we look for the redemption of the body. We see our shortcomings, not just physically, but spiritually. You are saved by hope, but hope that's seen isn't hope. For what man sees, doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, and then do, with patience await it. So we need hope. We need hope. That's, you know, another thing that way we exercise faith, by that hope. Romans 15, 13. Romans 15, 13, while we're in Romans. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through God's Spirit, we can have that hope. We can have that hope. Another way that we exercise God's Spirit is through patience, through our patience. Sort of a calm, the definition I've seen, a calm and confident endurance. Lamentations 3 and verse 25. We don't turn to Lamentations that much. It's in the Old Testament between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Lamentations 3 and verse 25. The Lord is good to them that wait for him. We're waiting. Some of us have waited a long time. Look at the Esslingers. They've waited a long time. You know, I see the Otts. They were here when, all these people were here when I first attended church when I was a young man. And they're waiting. We're still waiting. And we see others. You know, if you go to Cincinnati, to the home office, you'll see people who are still waiting and still faithful. You go to any congregation. It is good for a man that he should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You know, we're not griping. We're not saying, well, I thought we'd be spirit beings by now. We need to quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Luke 21 and verse 16. Luke 21, verses 16 through 19. And they shall be betrayed by both parents, brethren, kinfolks, friends, and some of you they shall cause to be put to death. Wow, doesn't that sound exciting? Aren't you looking forward to that? That may happen to some of us. That may happen to some of you, hopefully not to me. But no, that may happen to all of us, some of us, maybe none of us. We'll see it happen to others. For I will give you wisdom, and your adversaries will not be able to gainsay or resist. Again, you'll be betrayed. In verse 17, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Don't you just love it when everybody hates you? Sometimes I get that feeling. Some of you do. And in your patience possess you your soul. So do you have patience? Do you have patience through faith? Romans 5 and verse 1. Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1, wherefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access to faith and grace with which we stand and rejoice in hope and glory, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, tough times. And through tribulations, we develop patience. You know, when things don't work out right and we have to put up with something, we develop and work patience. And patience experience. Then we have that experience to look back on and say, hey, I remember when this happened, I thought there was no way out of this, and here I am. I've survived, maybe even benefited from it. And from experience, hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. Again, a gift. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6:9. Be not weary in well-doing. And we've seen some people who've been with us for a long time, and they just about had enough. Weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. So we exercise that faith that we have through our patience, through praying every day for faith, that we can, you know, be patient and wait for God to come, not when we maybe figure out he's going to come, but when he sees the time is right and when he's good and ready to come. And hopefully there will be faith. He will see faith when he returns, and we'll have that faith. Turn to Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what men can do to me. So men can cause us problems. You know, men can erode our faith, particularly in men. We need real spiritual faith for healing. We need faith to grow spiritually. We need faith to be at one with God and to do God's work. If we're going to get faith, it comes as a gift through studying God's word, by being resigned to do God's will, even when it's not easy. We exercise faith through studying God's word and letting it direct our lives, by putting that faith into action, by patience. We need to put our faith in God, in his power, his plan, and by being an active part of his work.